Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Episode 158 of the Rise and Shine podcast. And listen, it's the interview that is sweeping the nation. Aaron Rodgers, a world exclusive from Shine On Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio. 30 minutes of absolute gold. If you're a fan of the Jets, you're going to be inspired. If you're a fan of the Mets, you're going to absolutely love it. If you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers, I hope you appreciate how much he wanted to stay in Green Bay. And man, I still can't believe they drafted Jordan Love. This is incredible. We get into The Sopranos. We get into Taylor Swift. We get into Carbone. It is an incredible spot that is going to energize Jets Nation. Listen, that's why we had to drop a bonus episode. Our executive producer, Bob Stew, diehard Jets fan. He's been pumping his fist ever since we taped this on Wednesday afternoon. Here it is, without further ado, Aaron Rodgers, a bonus episode of the Rise and Shine podcast.
NFL fans, right now on the SXM app, hear in-depth coverage of your team with the Believe Podcast Network on SiriusXM. It's all the analysis, all the breakdowns that matter to you, hosted by the players who played for your team and the fans who eat, sleep, and breathe it. 32 diehard fan bases, 32 podcasts. The Believe Podcast Network on SiriusXM. BLEAV. Search Believe in, followed by your team on the SXM app, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friend of the program, the star quarterback of the New York Jets, my guy Aaron Rodgers, who's nice enough to give us a few minutes live in line. Aaron, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. Thanks for having me back on.
It is so great to have you back on, and officially welcome to New York. And listen, you sound great in terms of the press conferences. You look great. You look happy. You look rejuvenated. What makes this the perfect next chapter for you and your incredible career? What is making you, Aaron, so fired up and so happy?
Well, I think change is always difficult, but if you can lean into it, there can be a lot of really beautiful things on the other side. And I had an incredible chapter in Green Bay, and now I'm starting a new one in New York, New Jersey, and it's just a perfect marriage of, you know, an offense that I know, a, you know, offense coordinator I have a lot of love and respect for, a few common teammates, and then the beauty in all the new relationships you get to form with these new teammates and get to know them and let them get to know you and your style and the way you play and the way you lead. And that's kind of what wakes me up in the morning is what conversation is going to come up today. It's going to be fun. What new kind of new scheme we can teach these guys. And then what can you learn about your teammates today?
And you can certainly see that in the practices and feel that in the commentary. And, you know, having Nathaniel Hackett, I know how important that is to you and the special relationship that you guys have and the offense that he runs. You know, you've made the point to me through the years when we've talked before a season that you think 8 to 10 teams realistically can win a Super Bowl. Robert Saleh told the press this week that he looks at 6 to 8 with the Jets absolutely being in that mix. I've been saying since the trade, I'll just give you some names off the top of my head, not in any order. Jets, Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Niners, Philadelphia Eagles, to me, the six best teams draw a line when I take a look at teams that can win the Super Bowl this year. Do you agree with that? And how would you define success your first year with the Jets?
Well, I mean, I think there's been a lot of conversation around success as we watch the NBA playoffs. And some interesting answers have been shared. One by Giannis of the Bucks that I'm associated with. And I did appreciate his answer. But, you know, I was traded here with the idea that there's a team in place that can win a championship. And, you know, being an older player, that's what you want to do. You want to add to your legacy. And championships obviously really add to your legacy. So I've always said I think there's 8 to 10. I think the 6 you mentioned are all in the conversation. I think there's probably some other ones that deserve some love as well. You know, the AFC, you have the 6 you mentioned, 4 of those are AFC teams. Obviously very strong. We have the reigning Super Bowl champs in our conference now. And, you know, one of the best players in the league in Patty. And then obviously the Bengals had a great run the previous year and got a great football team in our division. I think there's 4 really good teams. We get to see kind of where we stack up in the first game of the year against my buddy Josh and the Buffalo Bills, which would be a fun way to start the season.
You've been out and about in New York City, which I absolutely love. And Carbone is on my top 4 in terms of restaurants. So I smiled. My wife and I smiled when you went to Carbone. I love that you went to the Knicks games and the Rangers games. There's something different, special about a postseason event, especially when the New York fans believe they have a winning team and one that can be special and advance in the postseason. Can you go there mentally? Do you even know what it would mean to the Jets fan, Jets Nation, for you to deliver the Jets a championship, their first since Broadway Joe?
I think you have to. I think you have to take your mind there so you can start to understand the manifestation of these dreams and thoughts. And coincidentally enough, last night I was watching a 30 for 30 on the 86 Mets.
Oh, yes!
Kevin Mitchell fan. I was always a big Kevin Mitchell fan growing up. He was a Giant and had a big year in 1989 where he hit like 47 home runs and drove in 125. And that team of him and Will Clark and Robbie Thompson and Rick Rushel and Candy Maldonado and Jose Uribe. I just loved that team, but I really loved Kevin Mitchell. And Kevin was on the 86 Mets. He was a rookie, and he had the second hit of the inning and actually scored the tying run on the wild pitch when Mookie Wilson was at bat. But the reason I'm telling the story is, you know, the Mets fans, many Mets fans are Jets fans. Obviously, the Jets, you know, used to be in Long Island, and a ton of fans from that area. And you see just the reaction from the Mets fans was so incredible during that time. And many people don't know the entire story, but they were down 3-2 and came back in that last game and were able to pull it off, down 2 runs in extra innings in the 10th there on the Buckner error, which actually put them ahead to win the game 6-5, and then came back in the 7th and won to win the World Series. But just the reaction from the fans was so classic. And just you realize how special it would be to win a championship anywhere, obviously, but I think especially here in New York with a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 12 years and obviously hasn't been back to the Super Bowl since Broadway Joe.
Listen, of all the things you could have watched, that was the one. Because, and listen, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Never disliked the Mets. I just was obsessed with baseball. Still am growing up. I mean, that 86 Met team, iconic. They would kick ass, take names. They owned the city the way that they did it. What I'm fascinated by this. On the heels of that question, what made you decide to watch that 30 for 30?
I was just kind of scrolling. It came across the ticker, and I going to be on, and I was kind of winding down, and it was a two-parter. So
yeah.
So there's just such great characters on that team. You know, Dykstra and yep. Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter and Ray Knight and Mookie Wilson and all these different guys. And I was just I'd actually seen parts of it before. I've never seen the whole thing, and I just kind of got into it. You know, being now here in Jersey and New York, you know, it kind of means even more to me now watching that.
Aaron Rodgers, of course, our quarterback with the New York Jets, with Adam Schein, Channel Sports, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Aaron, we talk about you looking great, sounding great, you know, feeling the positive vibes, thinking Super Bowl, everything with the Jets. Is it possible, because this is how I see it, and we've had these conversations before seasons in the past, is it possible to be both rejuvenated and simultaneously have a chip on your shoulder with how things ended in Green Bay?
Oh, you know, I think yes, for sure. But I'm not going to make too much of that chip. You know, I don't have any resentment or bitterness. I have nothing but gratitude for my time there and a lot of love for so many people in the organization there, and still have talked to and heard from so many of those guys who still work there. And I have nothing but love for my time there. So there's no chip from that. I think as you get older, you know, I use that chip from, you know, being drafted a lot lower than I thought I should have been. I use that, you know, I think I used that up. I ate that bag of chips there. But then you find new ways to motivate yourself. And you know, I think that's the beauty of sports is that you can be inspired by so many people around you. Great players, great people, great work ethics, great preparation. But the motivation has to come from within. And I think you got to have that deep, deep self-motivation on the days where it doesn't feel great or you're hurting or you're tired or whatever it is, to dig deep and to give more and to kind of keep pushing the end of your what you think in your mind is your limit on your physical capabilities, your mental capabilities, your toughness, your grit, your focus, your preparation, all those things. And I think it's all part of, you know, trying to continue to play at a high level as long as you possibly can. And so that's enough motivation for me. And I got plenty of it, still a lot left in the tank. And this has just kind of been an extra energy boost every day to be around these guys and to get to know them and to just feel the excitement in the building, the excitement in the team, the excitement going out and about, whether it's in Jersey or in the city. I couldn't be more excited. And I said it yesterday, the day before when I talked to the press, you know, it's been like a dream. It really has. And I'm just enjoying every second.
You mentioned some of your teammates who are energizing you. I had a chance in person to interview Garrett Wilson at the Super Bowl. My goodness. I mean, you want to talk about impressive. Super smart. I love chopping it up with him. Love talking to him. Phenomenal player. I think that your chemistry with him could be absolutely incredible when you guys really get it down. I think Randall could help him. Obviously, Nathaniel. Obviously, Alan Lazard. What has stood out so far about Garrett Wilson? What kind of special receiver can he be for you instantly this season?
Well, I think you hit it on the head there. I think you first got to start with the character. He's a really high character guy. And, you know, the great ones I've been around at that position have all been super high character guys. And, you know, I've been around some really, really great ones. And he, you know, again, this is difficult to make this comparison because Devontae Adams, to me, is the best receiver in the league. And it's not necessarily that close. I think there's a couple guys in the stratosphere, but he's the best. But the way that he went about his business, Devontae, and continues to, the professionalism, the swagger, the confidence, the attention to detail in his work ethic, preparation, to pass on to Garrett, just to let him know what the standard is. But Garrett naturally does a lot of those things. He has great work. He's got a great work ethic. He's got very good practice habits. He's incredibly gifted. He has incredible lateral quickness, and he also, you know, runs in the 4.3s and the 40s. So he's got all the skill sets. He's definitely a little smaller than Devontae was. I think there's some room to put some weight on, but he's so shifty and dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's got a chance to be a really, really good player in this league, and I'm excited to be here to help him with part of that development. But he doesn't need a whole lot of help. He just needs to keep on doing what he's doing, and and grow and learn and just keep on bettering himself. But he's got a really, really bright future. And above all that, most importantly, just like the Jordy Nelsons of the world and the Randall Cobbs of the world and Davante Adams and James Jones of the world, he is a very high, high character guy. And you need your best players to be your best people. And he definitely is one of them.
And putting him in that category in terms of character with those four guys that you mentioned, knowing the respect level you have for those guys and what they did for you in Green Bay, that's pretty impressive company, and that makes a lot of sense in getting to know Garrett a little bit. Now, on Tuesday, there was a big conversation about your calf. I mean, to me, it was late May. It was OTAs. I mean, you know, I watch Get Up. I love Mike Greenberg. That's my guy. I thought he was going to have a heart attack on television on Wednesday. Very concerned about your calf. What can you tell America, Jets Nation, Mike Greenberg? How's the calf? You okay?
Yeah, just tell them all just relax a little bit. I had a little stiffness, a little tightness, and just decided it wasn't worth it to push it at all. But I'll be back out there pretty soon. You know, it's a different type of training at times here, which is great. I mean, I love our strength coach and staff, and the performance staff are great. I'm doing some things I haven't done in 19 years. it's been a while.
Yeah.
But I just kind of tweaked it a little bit, but I'm fine. I'll probably, if I'm not out there today, I'll be out there next week. And like I said, it's a nothing deal. I just thought it was best to not push it.
You know, I never try to get too worked up about OTAs or mini camps, you know, for a variety of reasons.
Please don't.
Yeah, no. And I don't. Never have. Never will. But in terms of this season for you, right, and you say please don't, that's great. Why was this the right thing for you to be here, be omnipresent? You know, obviously for you, you know, you have to learn where the facility is and get a routine down and new training staff, as you mentioned. Why was this the right thing for you this time, this offseason?
Well, I think that, you know, although I knew the offense, know the offense as well as anybody, it's important that the guys feel my cadence and my energy and the way I lead and the way I approach things at practice and go about my business. And then, you know, there's guys to get to know. There's all the other off-the-field stuff, you know, finding a place to live and finding – you know, kind of your setup with your weekly stuff, you know, making sure I got, you know, people to take care of me, you know, during my time off, you know, massage person, you know, acupuncture, body work, all different things. Just getting your infrastructure in place was something I felt like I need to be here. Obviously, I need to find a place to live, and those off-the-field things are very important. And then, you know, just being there with the guys, getting to know them, and I was in one place for 18 years. There was a lot of the same, you know, the same type of people that I was around, same offense for 14 years, basically, and then, you know, 4 years of a different offense. You know, I have a great setup out west with incredible trainer and bodywork people. So I definitely missed being out there with those guys, but it was just the right thing to do for me this year to be here, to get to know the great folks at One Jets Drive, and kind of just ingratiate myself into the culture out here in the city.
Now, you said you are a big fan of Jersey Shore. Now, you know, I've talked to you about TV and movies and sports, you know, in addition to, you know, the Packers in the past, and usually we're on the same page, not so much with Jersey Shore, but it did beg a couple of follow-up questions. Sopranos? Were you a Soprano fan? Bon Jovi, Springsteen. Where do you stand on those in terms of Jersey culture?
I love The Boss. I love Bon Jovi. I never really got into Sopranos, which is crazy because I've watched all the other mob movies, you know, Godfather, Casino, Goodfellas, on and on. Never really got into Sopranos, though.
Wow. Is that just coincidence? Did you try it? You didn't like it? Will you try it again?
I would try it. I'd be up for trying it for sure. I'm kind of a one show at a time type of guy. And I think that was the time, I guess, I feel like Lost was going on maybe.
Yeah,
that time,
yeah.
And Entourage and some other things. So I'm kind of a one show at a time type of guy. So I just didn't have the time. Like I said, I don't watch a lot of TV. I just didn't have the time to kind of binge that show. But I mean, I bet I'd love it because it's one of the iconic shows of our generation.
All right, I think you could do that, but between now and training camp, can we get some kind of commitment on Sopranos before now and the start of training camp?
I'll give you a strong maybe that I'll get into that.
Strong maybe. Listen, he did the 86 Mets 30 for 30. I think that's good enough.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What's going to be your next New York City event? I mean, you hit Carbone, which was incredible. If we were having this conversation a week before, I mean, I would have invited you to my daughter's bat mitzvah in Westchester, which was a tremendous party. I mean, you're going to go to a Yankee game, Met game, Jersey Shore. What's next? Something big, something small that you want to do, a museum? What's next for Aaron Rodgers in New York, New Jersey?
Well, in no particular order, definitely Mets and Yankees game, Broadway show.
Yes.
Taylor Swift concert.
Are you going to Taylor Swift this weekend?
Oh, for sure. Of course.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's big now, fan. Are you a Swiftie or that's just an event? I mean, listen, I got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old daughter. I mean, they're obsessed. I love Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
So you're going to be there this weekend. Now, who do you go to Taylor Swift with?
I got some friends who are also big fans who are kind of in my age group. So we're go together.
All right. So I interrupted you. So you got Taylor Swift, you got Broadway, you got Mets, Yankees. That's a great start. What else is on the list?
I think that's a good start. I need some more recommendations. My teammates, there's a couple guys who are self-proclaimed foodies who give me some ideas. But yeah, that's kind of a good start for me.
Sushi of Gary is my favorite sushi place in New York City. I'm just telling you, there's three locations. It's fantastic. It's tiny. Actually, you remember Dustin Keller who played for the Jets? He recommended it to me a lifetime ago, and it's fantastic. Put that on the list. I'm telling you, Sushi of Gary in the city is fantastic.
I will. It's on the list.
All right, last one I have for you. You referenced Giannis. It's funny. I had it on the list. I'm like, this is the perfect topic for Aaron Rodgers. I honestly, and I love Giannis, I vehemently disagreed with what he said. How did you interpret what Giannis Antetokounmpo said about disappointments and sports?
I think, you know, I've said in the past that I don't necessarily believe that success is and failure are binary. That I think that there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, there's times where you play your best and you don't win. And I think that's part of being a great competitor, is realizing that the first success is showing up and doing your best and balling as good as you can, and understanding that it's not always going to be good enough. However, we're judged by our record and our championships, our wins and losses. So there's an interesting dichotomy between what it means to be a true competitor and to lay it on the line time after time, and to come up short in a game and realize that you didn't win that. So it's an interesting conversation. I really, have a lot of love and appreciation for Giannis and what he's brought to the team and the city, and his commitment over the years, and the way he's improved his body and improved his shot, MVP and won a championship. But when you do that, you set the standard that that's the standard every single year, which is exactly how every great competitor wants it. But when that's the standard and you come up short, it can't be truly a successful season because the goal is to win it all every year.
Without question. All right, one final one for you that I just have on my notes. Misconception of Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years. I felt like doing live sports radio on the show, I sometimes had to fight people off. Aaron cares about Aaron. Aaron's going to do his thing. I think maybe the last couple of years, you solely wanting to win championships and wanting more than anything else at the time to finish in Green Bay, it kind of all got lost in the shuffle, lost in the sauce, starting when they drafted Jordan Love. Do you think the last couple of years there was a misconception of you at the end in Green Bay?
I mean, probably, because, there's a lot of conversation that gets filled in the gaps when not everything is shared, and the majority of it was not factual. Even some of the things that were said about how it went down at the end of my time, the last, 5-6 weeks ago, was not true. So there's always going to be storylines out there, and some you like to try and set straight, and some you just let kind of be. But I definitely care about winning championships, and that was a big focus for me. The other focus was leaving the place better than I found it, and I didn't think I was going to actually ever leave the place, but I wanted to help further and foster a culture of doing things the right way all the time. And that was some of the conversations that we got into, was about, let's just do things, maybe there's a different way of doing things. At the same time, like I mentioned about my off-season stuff, me being able to spend time in California was a way to get myself in the best headspace and also get my body in the best physical space. And people maybe didn't quite understand that, because there's kind of a misconception of what the point of the offseason is and who it's actually for. There's been some silly storylines out there that are really not based in fact. I think, the people who have gotten to see me on the McAfee show definitely see, pretty much what I'm all about. There's not a whole lot that's held back. It's kind of shoot from the hip stuff. And some people like it, some people don't. It's not for everybody. Not everybody is into plant medicine. Not everybody's into reading books. Everybody maybe likes it that I say the occasional colorful metaphor, but that's fine. I care more about, being respected, especially by my teammates, and liked. Obviously, I think every great leader, that needs to be the focus. If you're worried about being liked or being respected, you're never going to stand for anything, and you're not going to get respected. You want to be respected, more people are going to like you and appreciate you, because you have those boundaries. You have those things that you truly, truly believe in and you're willing to stand up for. And to me, that's always been the most important thing. What am I willing to lay it on the line for? What am I willing to stand up for? you know, my personal freedoms and rights and my belief system. And if you like it, great. If you don't, that's fine too.
What were some of those misconceptions over the last 5 weeks that maybe you can clarify or clean up for us?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't need to feel like I need to really get way back into them. I just think that there was, you know, there was an article written about timeline of how things went down, and it just wasn't really based in fact. You know, I've talked about, you know, little things about it, you know, the communication that did or did not go on, and that, again, was not represented factually either. So, but I don't feel like I need to keep going down that way. Obviously, there's a story that wants to be told on one side, and then there's the, you know, the facts of what actually happened on the other, and I'll just kind of let that be.
All right, so I'll leave you with this then. Taylor Swift favorite song, just because my... Do you have one? My girls are going to ask me, and if I don't ask the question, I'm going to be in trouble later.
It's tough. It's really tough. I think my favorite album is Folklore. My favorite song off that album is probably August. And my favorite music video is I Bet You Think About Me, which came out recently, like a year ago or so, I think.
That's a great
and
one.
A couple of my friends were, Miles Teller and his wife were in it. Miles and Kelly were in it. And so I know them and love them. And I love that music video. So, but Folklore is probably my favorite album. And like I said, August is probably my favorite song off of that album.
Aaron, you're the best. I always appreciate everything. I know the audience does as well. Always appreciate the time on the show. And listen, I just think it's amazing you're in New York, a great opportunity. Love what you had to say about feeling that energy with the Jets and their fans and watching the 86 Mets and knowing that could be you and your teammates and this organization. So I'm rooting for you. It's going to be an unbelievable season. And keep up the great work. And we appreciate the time. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you during the season.
You got it. Aaron Rodgers, star quarterback, New York Jets.
It's time for texts from Jack Shine.
All right, Bob Stew, you're a diehard fan of the Jets. You're going to be inspired by the text from Jack Shine. Ultra brilliantly job done by you. You and Aaron, special. Congratulations with an emoji I'm showing at the Bob in studio. Of a balloon, a congratulatory balloon. Then he writes, you might have to buy Theo Schein a Rodgers 8 jersey. I know he's a Bills fan. Poppy's Jets, my dad's not a Jets fan, Poppy's Jets are winning the Super Bowl this year. Bob, if you're a Jets fan, those are the expectations that at some point this year or next year, your Jets with Aaron Rodgers, and you heard it during the course of the interview, going to win the Super Bowl. What an exciting time for Jets Nation. Love what he had to say about Garrett Wilson. Love what he had to say about being in New York. And I do believe that over the next couple of years, yes, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are winning a championship. Poppy's going to be thrilled. Rise and Shine is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating, leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.